Hey, hello and good day. Welcome to the Extension Podcast, Smith and Lever Fever, where we will talk about all things extension programming. Today, our topic is a program area in extension that might not be a PRU across the country, but it's definitely one here in Colorado, and that is energy. So when beginning research for this podcast, I got in touch with CSU Extension Specialist Energy Administration, Kerry Weiner, and he pointed me to the CSU Energy Guidelines and the CSU Extension Energy website. So that's where I have the information that I'm sharing with you here today, and it's a lot of good stuff. And hopefully by the end of the podcast, we know a little bit more about the Energy Programming Unit. So for more than 100 years, Extension has been helping rural and urban residents and businesses manage everything from fields to finances. As the local presence of outreach arm of Colorado's land-grant university, Extension agents equipped with research-based expertise tailor their educational efforts and activities to the needs of communities. Their educational outreach includes workshops, webinars, one-on-one consultations, and more. So together with CSU's Rural Energy Center, Extension now helps residences, businesses, agricultural producers, and local governments from across the state make more informed energy decisions. The Energy PRU focuses on group educational events, assessments, research, educational kits, and they also provide individual consultations and electronic resources. So that's, you know, the traditional come to your house and check out your energy usage in the traditional extension agent format. So let's start with the stupid question of the moment. What is energy? So according to Energy Explained from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, energy is the ability to do work. That kind of makes me laugh. Energy comes in different forms. Heat, which is thermal, light, which is radiant, motion, kinetic, electrical, chemical, nuclear energy, gravitational energy, and they don't have it listed, but there's also toddler energy. People use energy from everything from walking to sending astronauts into space, so it's kind of a big topic. There are two types of energy, stored, which is potential energy, and working, which is kinetic energy. I feel like there's a lot of jokes we can make with that too, about toddler energy. Anyway, moving on. Energy sources can be categorized as renewable or non-renewable. When people use electricity in their homes, the electrical power is probably generated by burning coal or natural gas, by a nuclear reaction, by Homer Simpson on The Simpsons, or by a hydroelectric plant on a river, to name just a few sources. When people fill up a car's gasoline tank, the energy source is petroleum, gasoline, refined from crude oil, and may include fuel ethanol made by growing and processing corn. So you haven't heard it often, but you know, we have a lot of corn fields and they're not actually all used to feed our cows. So right there, a lot of it is to use to produce energy. Coal, natural gas, nuclear, hydropower, petroleum, and ethanol are called energy sources. Energy sources are divided into two groups, and these are words that we definitely hear a lot on the news today. Renewable, an energy source that can be easily replenished, and non-renewable, so a source that is not easily replenished. Renewable and non-renewable energy sources can be used as primary energy sources to produce useful energy such as heat, or used to produce secondary energy sources such as electricity. So in the category of renewable energy, there are five main renewable sources: solar energy from the sun, geothermal energy from the heat inside the earth, wind energy, biomass from plants, hydropower from flowing water, and to get to the non-researched side of energy, toddler energy, which is stolen from their parents. Non-renewable energy, most of the energy consumed in the United States is from non-renewable energy sources, such as petroleum, hydrocarbon gas liquids, natural gas, coal, and nuclear energy. So this, again, is a hot topic in the news, and it explains why energy is a PRU area in Colorado, because we do produce a lot of crude oil and natural gas. So we have, especially with the election season coming up, we're hearing a lot of different talks about propositions and job resources. So diving in. So here's something interesting. The laws of energy. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. So it's more or less a philosophical idea. No, according to scientists, conservation of energy does not mean saving energy. Instead, the law of conservation of energy says that the energy is neither created nor destroyed. When people use energy, it doesn't disappear. Energy changes from one form of energy into another form of energy. A car engine burns gasoline, converting the chemical engine energy in gasoline into mechanical energy. Solar, not going to know how to say this word, photovoltaic, I'm Googling that later. That's a cool word. Photovoltaic cells change radiant energy into electrical energy. Energy changes form, but the total amount of energy in the universe stays the same. So again, we're just tiny specks in this huge place and all this energy. It's a lot to take in. Converting one form of energy into another is energy efficiency, and it's the amount of useful energy obtained from a system. A perfectly energy efficient machine would convert all of the energy put into the machine to useful work. In reality, converting one form of energy into another form of energy always involves a conversion into usable or useful energy and unusable energy. Most energy transformations are not efficient. The human body is a good example. The human body is like a machine, and the fuel it requires is food. Food gives a person energy to move, breathe, and think. However, the human body isn't very efficient at converting food into useful work. And that might be because we eat a lot of unuseful food, like goldfish and pretzels, and more pretzels and popcorn and things that don't have protein. Anyway, the human body is less than 5% efficient most of the time. The rest of the energy is converted to heat, which may or may not be useful depending on how cool or warm a person wants to be. Well, it's getting cold outside, it's getting to be fall, so maybe that's a good time to talk about energy saving tips in the home. Because this next topic in the U.S. Energy Information Administration might be a little over our head. It's about energy units and calculators explained. You know, at this point, I feel like that's why I like calculators, because they don't explain, they just give me the answer. So if you are interested in how energy calculators are explained, definitely check this website out because they've got a lot of great useful resources. They have calculators for energy, for coal, electricity, natural gas, crude oil, gasoline, diesel, measuring energy and food. Wait a minute, let's check that out. Nope, let's not. Food calories, BTU, megajoules, kilowatt hours. Okay, that's nope. We're gonna call it quit on that rabbit hole and move back. So yes, they do have a lot of calculators, and they look legit. They actually look above my resource and research level skills for at this moment. So, coming back to Your Energy Colorado and Colorado Extension University and energy programs that they have for you and I in the state to improve the quality of our lives, because that's the point of extension, helping the community improve the quality of life through researched and non-biased information. So, speaking of that, my side jokes about the Simpsons and the toddlers are clearly not research-based information, but hopefully lighthearted little jings to keep the topic alive, if you will. Not that energy's boring, but you know, just keep change it up. Make sure you're listening. Anyway, so when we come back to the Your Energy Colorado website, they have different topics for you and I to choose from, and we're going to start with save energy because, right, we want to save energy. We're coming into winter. I know personally, I'm about to start paying a lot of money for my electricity heating bill. And it would probably behoove me to do an energy audit of my house to figure out where I'm losing this energy. So let's dive in together. So I'm gonna look at saving energy at home. So as it mentions, a quick walkthrough or having a professional energy audit is a great way to understand your options. In my case, I live in the rural Western Slopes, so I don't think Carrie's gonna come to my house and check it out. But if I live down on the Front Range, I probably could have an extension agent come and do a home energy audit. So for many households, improving the home's building shell with air sealing and insulation is the first step in a whole house approach to energy efficiency. Not happening, but let's see what else we can do. Since energy conservation and efficiency reduce energy use, they can also reduce the size and cost of a renewable energy system like solar. So getting started, Home Energy Efficiency 101. And granted, there are a ton of topics and things that we could look at, but for the sake of time, we're going to just focus on energy in our home right now. So, Energy Efficiency 101. Energy Efficiency 101 is also equivalent to Slow Wi-Fi 202. Okay, so according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, homes use 22% of all energy consumed in the United States. If Americans reduced our energy use by 30%, we would eliminate the equivalent of 450 power plants. But also, then that would create a secondary debate of killing jobs. Interesting. But I know myself personally, if I would just turn the lights off when I left the house instead of leaving my home lit up like a pumpkin every night, I could definitely save a lot of energy doing that. So, 54% of Colorado homes use space heating, 26% are appliances, electronics, and lighting, and 19% are water heating, and 1% are cooling. So, you can tell we're not a super, super hot state. Even though we did have a really warm summer, 1% of the energy used in Colorado is for cooling. I'm kind of surprised by that. So, approaches to reducing home energy use. There are different ways. There are many ways to skin a cat. In the whole house approach, you would start by getting a home energy audit that would detail all possible energy improvements. You can prioritize which improvements to make as part of a broad long-term strategy to reduce energy use as much as possible, often air sealing and insulating that we just talked about. In the opportunistic approach, you would simply replace energy equipment as it fails with efficient, high-performance equipment. That sounds like me. An energy audit would still be beneficial, so you have a sense of how much you'll save by using high-efficiency equipment, but you might not implement recommendations strategically. For instance, if you replace a furnace before air sealing and insulating, you will save some energy, but you might miss the opportunity to maximize energy savings. You're gonna have to ignore that phone in the background. It's sorry about that. And I'm not that good at editing, so we're gonna just have it in the background as sound. Okay, in either approach, picking off low-hanging fruit, such as behavior changes, light bulbs leaving on like a pumpkin, me. Setting appliances appropriately and replacing light bulbs is recommended. Okay, thank you for that. What else do we got? So we also have explore. You know what? I don't feel like we really got any actual useful tips you can use. Let me dig a little deeper. Let's click the whole house approach, which I'm more of the low-hanging fruit, but we're going to do the whole house approach. And here's the quick facts. So, determining a base load. There are numbers of ways to determine where your home uses the most energy. One good way to start this investigation, ooh, insert law and order, dun dun, is by taking a close look at your energy bills. If you can gather all your bills from the previous 12 months, you will have all you need to determine your home's base load heating and cooling energy use and expenses. In the sample home's monthly energy use figures provided in Table 1, oops, you can't see that, but you can check it out on the website. Extension.colostate.edu, topics, energy. I'll also have it posted online for you to check out. But a home's base load is the amount of energy used under the least demanding set of conditions when energy use is the lowest. So for electricity in Colorado, this is typically in the spring or fall when no cooling is required, when furnace fan use is minimal, and when natural lighting is fairly abundant. Electricity use is mostly restricted to appliances, lighting, electronics, and other small loads. One can calculate the annual electricity base load for this home by multiplying the monthly low of 550 kilowatts times 12 months, which is 6,600 at 0.10 per kilowatt. This home spends 660 per year on this base load. Like they made that sound easy, but you too can come here and do the math and figure out month by month what your home energy base load is using. Well, no, not month by month, because the base load is at the lowest point, but you get the point. You can figure out what your house is doing. Reducing energy demand. Demand is the amount of energy needed to achieve certain functions, such as maintaining a comfortable temperature of level of light, drying clothes, freezing food, so forth. To reduce lighting demand, one can let natural light into the home by opening window coverings. That's smart. You can reduce hot water demand by setting the water heater to 120 degrees. I like to take my showers at 250, but that's a good point. You could do that. Take shorter showers. Run dishwashers only when they're full. I don't know about you, but I only run my dishwasher when it's beyond capacity. So definitely don't make more work for yourself and run in a dishwasher that's only half full. Fill that sucker all the way to the top. Run clothes washers using cold water. And the FCS agent would also tell you that cold water is better for stain removal. Insulate your pipes. And insulate water heaters that are hot to the touch. Unplugging appliances when they're not in will reduce their electricity demand. I've heard that about your cell phone chargers and your smartphones. When they're plugged into the wall, the little white box, or if you have an Android, the black or another product. Anyway, when your phone charger is just plugged into the wall, it is using electricity and energy. So it might be a minor detail in life, but you can unplug it just to make a little bit of a difference. For heating and cooling, energy demand depends on how we choose to counteract the extreme temperatures that make us uncomfortable. So this is where they have a little flow chart about ceiling transmissions, heated supplies, internal solar heat. Now we're getting into some more research type material that I do not have summarized well enough to repeat back to you, but you can check it out here online. Again, another kind of obvious but probably overlooked energy saver is using energy efficient equipment. I just recently purchased a brand new washer and dryer, and I learned that the washers that have, oh, I can't think of that name, but that thing in the middle, that's the rotator jabber, washers that have that cannot be considered energy efficient because they don't actually dry out your clothes that well. And so without having that thing, and you just have an open basin, the washer is able to dry your clothes a lot better. So therefore your dryer runs for less amount of time. And that is how your washer dryer duo save a bit of energy. Interesting fun fact I learned from Lowe's, which is definitely not research based by any means, but it sounded good. So I'm sure there's got to be research behind that. I'd like to think that they weren't just telling me something to sell me a washer and dryer, but the clothes do come out a lot drier than they did in my old one. Anywho, reducing the cost of renewable energy. Another feature of the whole house approach is that investments in energy efficiency can decrease the cost of renewable energy. If an energy efficient home uses 10% less electricity compared to a conventional home, one would require a smaller, here it is again, solar photovoltaic system to offset their electricity use. So in conclusion, it's important to understand the whole house approach to energy efficiency in order to make sound long-term energy investments. Determining your home's baseload heating and cooling energy is one way to get started. Once one better understands where energy is being used in the home, one can focus on reducing energy demand through energy conservation measures. Becoming energy efficient can increase comfort as well as decrease the cost of renewable energy systems. Also, personal experience, energy saving side tip, stand in front of your window and see if you can feel the cold air coming through. If you can feel cold air, turns out you might have a leak. So you could definitely check out one of your Colorado State University Extension energy saving tips website to figure out what is the best way to seal your windows. Do you have to buy brand new windows? Can you just saran wrap them? And it's definitely not saran wrap, but I'm pretty sure there's a product that you can put in your window that looks like window saran wrap. So anyway, if you have air come through your window and your window is shut or through your doors, that's definitely one way you're losing energy and you might want to check out how you can stop that. All right, so we've talked a little bit about what energy is. We dove into some useful tips on the CSU Extension Energy website and home savings or home energy savings. But what is another manner in which Extension is reaching out to the communities to improve understanding about energy and improve the quality of life for our communities? One example is the Local Government Energy Academy. So, local governments across Colorado are obviously becoming more interested in opportunities to save money, increase sustainability, and achieve community energy goals. Some communities have set bold renewable energy targets, while others just want to reduce their bills. CSU Extension's Local Government Energy Academy is a workshop intended to help elected officials and staff understand, prioritize, and implement cost-effective opportunities for energy efficiency, renewable energy, and electric vehicles. The LGEA workshop consists of a high-level overview of energy options in Colorado, as well as deep dives into what local governments can do today to impact both their operations and the broader community. So, for people that attend this community or this workshop for government leaders, the objectives are to better understand how energy transition is currently playing out in Colorado, learn about energy programs and fundings available, hear directly from communities, and be able to identify opportunities that work best, as well as become eligible for follow-up assistance from CSU Extension. The first workshop was held in Eagle, Colorado on August 29th through the 30th, this year, this summer. So it'll be interesting to see how that went and how that played out. I definitely remember that email coming across the board from the Extension listserv, and so I shared it here with the local government officials in Rio Blanco County. I'm not sure if they actually attended or went to it, but we have a lot of energy production here in RBC, Rio Blanco County. So I think it would have been neat for them to go. Everyone's busy, so we're not sure if they used it. But again, just ex part of Extension work is putting the information out there. People may or may not grab onto it, but letting everyone know the work that Extension is doing in all the different topic areas. And that's what this podcast is all about, teaching us all about all the different programming areas in Extension in Colorado and the good work that's being done. So I really appreciate you taking the time to listen today, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. And remember to turn your lights off. Have a great day. But wait, there's more. I literally just got an email, an Extension e update email across my desk. And here, Carrie updates us on how that program went that I just mentioned. So here it is. CSU Extension partnered with Eagle County, the Northwest Colorado Council of Governments, and the Walking Mountain Science Center to host an inaugural Local Government Energy Academy, which was August 29th through the 30th. The 1.5-day event was intended to help elected officials and staff understand, prioritize, and implement cost-effective opportunities for energy efficiency, renewable energy, and electric vehicles. So the results are in. Almost 80 people, including representatives from 25 different local governments in Colorado, attended the workshop. Initial evaluation results showed that 100% of respondents rated their overall experience as excellent or good. Those are pretty, that's great. 100%. That's awesome. You cannot argue with that. All sessions provide respondents with new insight. 78% of sessions helped respondents discover a new sustainable energy opportunity, and 89% of sessions will impact the actions of respondents going forward. So that was a pretty good workshop, and it sounds like the people that participated, the 80 of them, really got a lot out of this. Carrie continues on by stating that they are wrapping up on a statewide energy needs assessment, which took a pair of graduate students to 9 different events in all corners of Colorado. So, as a graduate student, if you are interested in doing an internship or program work with Carrie and the energy office at CSU Extension, you better get in touch with him. He says they'll be facilitating an Xcel Partners in Energy program in Centennial, Colorado, to help that city define and achieve its energy goals. And they're working with the Poudre Valley Rural Electric Association, and they've been invited to consult on reseeding a solar farm with pollinator-friendly native plants. They are also offering a new low energy homes workshop that combines discussions on home energy efficiency, solar, and all electric net zero homes. They have also put together slides for presentations on electric vehicles. So let Carrie Weiner know if you're interested in bringing one of these workshops to your county or you're interested in participating in one of these workshops. So again, this is your State Extension Work at Work. Have a great day, folks.